Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Thursday evening to everyone. I'm so glad we have this opportunity to get together again on a Thursday. It's a blessing to be alive. I'm Veronica McMillan. I am the host tonight of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. Of course, our host, Francine Humphrey, is not on the call with me tonight. I'm flying solo. Last week we had a storm to come through, and so therefore we weren't able to get on the line, but thank God that here we are this Thursday night, and we are going to be talking about nonprofits tonight. So for all of you all who listen in to get nonprofit tidbits, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before I, you know, start there, let me basically just tell you a little bit more about Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. It's a brainchild, of course, of the founder of Issues Concerning Women, which is Francine Humphrey. And Issues Concerning Women basically is an organization that focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And, of course, yours truly, Veronica McMillan, the president and founder of the micro nonprofits, help nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. Both of us, Francine and I both, we're just advocates for our community. We try our very best and to help empower entrepreneurs, whether they be, of course, we have our main focus is women, but we also have that focus in helping entrepreneurs in general. So be that male or female, we're here to do that. Our vision is to, both of our visions is to empower women through hands-on demonstration, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition. Of course, I said entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. It really is for us being a voice for those who are coming into the business world, entrepreneur, and helping them, you know, along the way. So if you really wanted to connect with Francine, certainly you can connect with her via email at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. We just celebrated the 12th year. We had a gathering of women, met a little coffee shop, and just again strategized again on how we can help each other, because the collaboration is so very, very key. And if you want to connect with me, Veronica McMillan, you can connect with me at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or go to the website at micrononprofitnetwork.org. And as I said, so tonight is really going to be For the nonprofits, I do want to shout out that I will be doing a grant writing training at our office in Virginia Beach at 5602B Virginia Beach Boulevard. The cost is $70 per person. What I wanted to do was to send you pre-information or what have you prior to the training, so at least you'll be ready for that. But if you want to come in and you're in this area, you can just hit me up and let me know, and we can make room for you. So tonight, as I said, it really is going to be about nonprofits. And so I'm going to turn my attention to my notes. I went to, we call it the Funders Forum here in the Virginia Beach area. The Funders Forum, that's a tongue twister there, was primarily for nonprofits who are soliciting grants from the local foundations in the Hampton Roads area. And there were five of them that was there, and it was moderated by Keith Curtis of the Curtis Group, and he did an excellent job regarding that. And so that what they were doing was giving nonprofits tidbits of information to help them when they go after grants and to help them to improve their chances of getting grants. And I was like a sponge. I had thousands of questions going through my mind at one time, but they were there to answer all of our questions and to help us to see what foundation funders are looking for when you put an RFP, so I might be talking in grant lingo, so that's a request for proposal, comes out, what you need to do. And I was sharing with Francine earlier today that basically they were singing the song that I always sing to my network members, the importance of being ready. So what I want to talk about first, something that they said, so I'm looking at my notes and I'm sharing my notes with you. So for those of you all who are locally and that you listen to us every week, or whether that be listening via the archives or whether that be listening via live, basically that was just great information and information wherein if you want to build relationships with local funders, this is a great way to have that opportunity to go in and stop by and get to know them, because they kept stressing the importance of building the relationship. For those of you who are outside the area, I would say do the same for your area, but the tidbits that they gave us today can be used whether you're here in the Hampton Roads area or whether or not you are in Hawaii somewhere. It doesn't matter. If you are seeking grants and you are a startup nonprofit or your nonprofit has been around 10 years or more, the information that they gave was applicable to you as well. And so I want to start first with one of the things that they said, and I'm going to be weaving in and out, making shout-outs or giving, I say, making giving shout-outs for Francine as well as myself in terms of how you all can connect with us. I'm not going to open the lines up for questions because this is one of those things that you're going to need paper and pen. I keep saying I'm old school, and I'll probably be old school forever because I believe in going back to my notes. I know that we have the technology, and I need to improve upon that, and I know that we have so many other ways of getting information to each other, but I'm old school in that when electronics go down or phones go down or what have you, I got my notes on paper that I've saved and I have them, and that's a lifesaver for me. So I still use old planners and all of that stuff. That's just the era that I came up in, and it is something that I rely on. But one thing that they said, and especially for those of you all who are just starting off, one of the things that they wanted to do, they want you to invite them out to your site where you're doing work, where you're doing your labor of love, where you have your organization work, your space or whatever. They want to come out to your site. So hint, hint to those of you all who are you're starting a nonprofit and you do not have a space, you're going to have to start looking at collaborative spacing. You have to look at, there's this new term, I can't think of what it is now, where it was that shared office space. We basically sublease our space so that we're able to have an office space where we can do our programs. And yes, I do use my home office. I rely on that a lot, but I also know that it's important to have a space that a funder can come and see you do what you do, because that's what they said. They said they really want that community tie-in, buy-in, and they want to see you in action. So they don't want to see you in action in your own home. And they kept stressing that, the importance of inviting us out, let us see what you're doing with the population of people that you are working with. So number one, think about where can you have a space. Where is it that you'll be able to do what you got to do that's affordable for you? Because I understand in terms of getting started in your nonprofit, there's not a lot of money when you're getting started in your nonprofit. And you cannot, and I always stress, you cannot live in your own purse. It's not sustainable, but so long. And then you got to be able to branch off. And so start looking. So I'm making a list. There are lots of I can't even think of the word that has come to my mind, co-leasing, but there's another word, workspaces that's becoming like incubators now, where people are, you know, saying, hey, you have that corner of the office, I'll have that, and we'll have this meeting room in the center, and all of our nonprofits or whatever business that you're in sharing space. So this is true for those who have for-profit businesses as well. If you want investors to invest in your business, they don't want to show up at your house, because to them, you haven't stretched yourself enough to where they want to support. So number one, that they said, invite us out to your space. And then they said, to build a relationship with them. They said, don't ask for the money immediately. So let's take an example. You are 2 years old. You're trying to, you know, stretch yourself a little bit. I usually recommend don't start going after grants till you're probably about year four or five. But let's say, for instance, you're in year two. I think it's good to find out the funders in your area that support whatever that your mission is. Finding them out and building relationships. While I was there today, I was listening to them talk, and Linda Rice was one of the funders that was there. And Linda basically is that director of that Hampton Roads Foundation here in the Hampton Roads area, right there in the city of Norfolk. And I remember starting going to some of the things, and then I stopped. I got busy focusing in on our programs and all that stuff, but they kept saying how important relationship is. They want to get to know you. And then they also stress the importance of, even if you're not grant ready, they can help prepare you. So let's say you are in year two, and so over these next 2 years, you're building relationships, you're going in there, they see you face to face, they're helping you to put into place the things that you need to have in place, so that when it's time again for you to apply for a grant, maybe year four, because that's what I would recommend, then you're ready to go. And I know that for some people that's like, oh my God, then how will we make it? You make it with fee-based programs. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but let me go back over here again and just say, if you need to connect with Francine, she is the president and founder of Issues Concerning Women, and she also basically is the host of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, and I'm her co-host. So you can reach out to her at issuesconcerningwomen.org, which is the website, or you can get her by email. I got tongue-tied again, at icwdirector@gmail.com. Let me do that one more time. Issuesconcerningwomen.org is the website, and icwdirector@gmail.com is how you're going to connect with her when you really want to sit down and talk about your small for-profit business. I deal with the nonprofits, and she deals with the for-profits, but both of us are there to empower, to encourage, to educate, and to learn ourselves. We're in that position wherein we leave the door open for new opportunities, new learning, new collaborative relationships, because it's always an ever-growing, ever-developing process that we all must go through. And so if you need to connect with me, you can connect with me by the website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org and email at info@themicrononprofitnetwork.org. So again, we're talking to nonprofits about this funders forum that I attended today, and I wanted to share some of the tidbits. Can't share it all because 30 minutes go by so quickly. That's one of the reasons why I did not want to take questions tonight. I just wanted you to have pen and paper in hand and jotting down things. And so it's important that you understand they want to see. They want to see where you're doing your work, and they want you to basically get the opportunity to build a relationship with them, and don't ask for the money right away. That was one of the things that they said, because sometimes when that relationship isn't built, they don't know who you are, and they see you as thinking, would you get the money source for us? And no one wants to feel that way. They want to see where, you know, monies and funding and all other stuff is coming from, which is here is my soapbox right now. I believe, and this has been for me, I came into the nonprofit world in 2000, working for Girl Scouts, and then I worked for Habitat for Humanity. Then I started the Let's Talk Incorporated, which which was a nonprofit for the empowerment of women in 2005. And now, of course, here I am again with the Micro Nonprofit Network, which was founded in 2016. And so you got to kind of understand the importance of knowing that when you start your small nonprofit, more than likely, you're not going to get funded by your local funders. That was something that they said. They stress that so much that they usually like to see the best practices. They like to see that you've done it for a while. They want to see your outcomes. They want to know what your challenges are. They want to know what your financials look like over a 3 or 4 year period. So if you're just a startup, you don't have that information. So how do you then have monies to do what you need to do? You have to have a fee-based program. And for those persons who say that nonprofits should not have fee-based programs or services, they know what they're talking about. They just don't know what they're talking about, because you have to have some funds coming into your organization. Now, your funds can come into your organization via a business line of credit, or you got a business loan, which means you have to have a really great business plan, or you're going to have a program, a service, or something that you're charging a fee for so that you can be able to deliver the programs and services that you want in the community. And so you got to say, for the next 4 years, this is what we have. Let's just say your budget is $10,000. Let's keep it really simple. Where is that $10,000? How are you making that $10,000 for that year? Because if that is what it, that your business is making, now a funder can see, hey, we have a catering business that's tied to the mission of our organization, and this is how we do this. And then we have that entrepreneur program that we're doing to help girls to get into the catering business, or get into the fine arts, or whatever, culinary, or whatever that they're doing. They see now that you got some skin in the game, and that you've been doing this for 3 years. You got good data, which I'm going to talk about that in a second. So now they can see, and then you back it up with maybe a $20,000 business line of credit. So now they're seeing that you basically been doing this, and now when you ask them for a $20,000 grant, they can see over the past 4 years you've been hanging in there with what you have. You got great outcomes, and you can show that. So I thought that was really, really, really key to start that off with, and setting the stage and letting people know who are in the nonprofit world, this is what's going on. Then they got into the common errors when organizations submit a grant to them. And so there are about 4 or 5 of them that I want to just read out to you. They said, don't call before the grant is due. So they're saying, don't call me. The grant is due tomorrow. Don't call me on Thursday talking about the grant. They want you to do your homework, and which is always an issue. Then the other piece of that is that they said, read the guidelines and eligibility requirements. That is important. I understand now. When I look at an RFP, one of the first things that I do is go and look at what are the requirements. And if you start looking at the requirements, and then you see that there's an area that you do not have, don't apply for the grant, because you already know you're going to have a missing chunk from your proposal that a funder's like, mm-mm. And then to them, it's like you didn't pay attention. You didn't read the requirements. You got to understand that. And so they say that's what happens. You're kind of rushing. Don't rush the grant process. If you know that you're going to want to do grants, start 6 months to a year preparing for the grant process. It's important. And they said, so they want to know your levels of funding. And that was key. That goes right back to, has anybody funded you before, or do you have a fee-based service? Fee-based service, as I say, it could be, you know, you got this catering business. Like for us, we do consulting. You know, you have something that's bringing the organization in. you have a business that basically your nonprofit is really about early childhood development and what have you, and you got a child care center that you have, and that is a nonprofit child care center that parents have low, not low, but they have very fair rates or what have you, then that's bringing in income for your organization. So now when you're able to apply for a grant, they can see for the last 3 years your organization has made 30, 40, 50, however much money your organization is bringing in. And so now when you ask them for money, they see already we got that money that we have in from for our fee-based service, which matches our mission. Then we have, again, I go back to that business line of credit. Now, here's the thing about business line of credit. You don't have to use it. Just have it available for when you need it. That's the important piece. Typically what happens is people will get a business line of credit and get in a whole bunch of debt, because that's what it is. It's still accumulating debt. Even if you go and get a loan from the bank, still debt, which means that you're going to have to pay off. So don't get in a lot of it. If you only need it right now for us, if we get to $2,000 in using our business line of credit, we stop. And then we just pay that down and then have that, because I want all of that reserve for when I need that as backup. And so that as we're applying for grants, as we're doing, you know, our fee-based services and what have you, then we got, hey, this is what we do. And so they were really, really, really key and wanted to know the levels of funding. And not only the levels of funding, but how are you going to sustain this when this grant runs out? We give you $50,000, and then next year, since this is not a multi-year grant, how are you going to sustain it? How are you going to replace this $50,000 that we're giving you? So being able to tell them that is going to be important. They said they said that a lot of people really doesn't show how the funds will be used and how that will impact the community. And so that's going to be your outcomes. That's going to be making sure that you really got good goals and objectives, and that you are really, really collaborating with the community, so that basically they can see long term that this is going to be something. And then it has to be wherein you have those collaborative relationships with other organizations. And here's something that we did a community impact meeting probably about a year or two ago, and we had Dr. Gary Roberts from Regan University to come over, and we're just kind of like all sitting around. It was a conversation about why we're not coming together, for-profit business, non-profit business, why are we not collaborating? He said the research has shown that we say we want to collaborate, but it is very hard to collaborate, and I would have to amen that. Even to this moment that I'm speaking to y'all, it is very, we don't know how to do it. And so we got to figure out how we're going to do that. And so what they want in your grant proposals is that you're really going to have to put in there, you know, who you're collaborating with, who are your partners, and paying attention to all of that. Because what good is it to write a grant? And this happened to us. This is a true story. To write a grant, all the components was there, and then the budget was missing. And that was for a federal grant Let's Talk some time ago. But how did we miss that? You know, how did the grant writer miss it? How did I miss it as the person who's paying the grant writer for it? Because we don't have a grant writer on staff, and it would take us some time to get that, to have a grant writer on staff. But it's just important that we figure out all of those things before we start, you know, before we start trying to apply for a grant. Lesson learned. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one. I'm going to spend a lot of time on that with my grant writing session. Linda Rice basically kept saying over and over and over, understand the logic model. So for those of you all who are going after grants, get to know very well the logic model. And I'll talk about that in a minute, but let me take my commercial break and go back and say that you're listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, and I am Veronica McMillan, the host tonight. Francine Humphrey, our founder and host of the Issues Concerning Women show, is not with us tonight, but you certainly can connect with her via email at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to issuesconcerningwomen.org on the website to find out more information about what she's doing in the community. And, of course, I'm Veronica McMillan. I am the president and founder of Micro Nonprofit Network, and you can connect with us at info@micrononprofitnetwork, or go to our website as well at themicrononprofitnetwork.org. And so that way you can kind of keep in contact with us. And if you need to hit us up for something, certainly, and that's the best thing, building relationships is so important. And so what I'm doing tonight is sharing tidbits to the listening audience from a funders forum that I went to today that was held out at TCC in Virginia Beach, the same college where I teach at. It was absolutely wonderful, and the funders were giving us great tidbits on what they're looking for when they look at proposals and how they want collaborations to happen or what have you. And I was on that piece where Linda Rice kept saying over and over again, and I wrote that down because I have one activity for those who are participating in the grant writing training on Saturday. Basically, I have a logic model in there because the logic model is built upon the theory of change. So it's basically giving you a step-by-step way in which you can see the outcomes at the end if you follow the template, which means you really, really have to have strong data and you really, really, really got to understand your program. And so I would say if you don't know what a logic model is, there is a kabillion things out on the web that you can get around the logic model, because that seems to be where lots of funders are going, because it shows at the end an outcome, and that's what they want. They want to know what's the outcome and the impact on the community. And then something else that they said, don't let it just be impactful for just the people that you serve. They want you to serve the larger community. How does this help the larger community? Which means it requires strategic partnerships. It requires collaboration. It requires us partnering with each other, because they said over and over and over again, they don't want duplications of services. They don't want, I'm serving and mentoring girls, you're serving girls and mentoring them, and they got Girl Scouts, and they got all these other organizations who basically has been around for a long time and has a history of best practices, have a history of demonstrating what they can do in the community. And then here you and I come along saying that we're going to do the same thing. And so we don't, there's no need for them to do you or I, because they have another organization that's doing it well. They want to know, what do you bring to the table that is different? What do you do that's different from that organization that you all may have similar things, but how do you stand out and what makes you different? And by doing the logic model and playing, following it all the way through, but also coming to the table before you even start writing the grant is, yeah, what is it that we do and what makes us unique, which is your niche? What makes us unique so that we can do what we do, and then we can then go and do, you know, what we got to do. So it's just so much. And look at this, time is almost gone, and I've only got 3 points out there to you all. And then the other piece that they said basically is that you got to do your diligence, you got to do your research, and you got to build the relationship. When you don't do that, they know that you have not invested the time into your program. Don't rush your program. And that's what I tell everybody that's a part of our network. Do not rush the process. Take your time. Get to know. Don't try to put all of your programs out at one time. Work on your fee-based service and one of your other grant-funded, or one of your programs that you're going to go after grants with. Because when you do that, then it keeps you focused rather than jumping here, there, and everywhere, because I have a tendency to do that sometimes. I get going, I want to do that, I want to do this. Don't do that. take it from me, 19 and a half years, these are things that I've learned, and it'll be beneficial to you. Well, we come to the end of our time, y'all. I can't tell you no more because I got about 30 seconds on this show, but I want to shout out to, again, my partner, Francine Humphrey, president of Issues Concerning Women, and the whole stuff, Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. It's been a blast. As I said, reach out to Francine at icwdirector@gmail.com. Reach out to me at info@micrononprofitnetwork.com. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.